send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. And opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Kevin Barker just told me I'm crazy. Shut up, Travis.
Do nothing.
It's Baseball Central.
Maybe it's the way your hair looks
today. April 23rd.
It's not a good showing. I'm sorry. Friends, tell the truth. And this basically, you look like you've combed it with a rock. Just saying.
This from a man who sprays three parts of his body with
people
cologne before we go in the air. Well, the one part of your body they don't respect.
Oh, don't take this away. Don't try to throw this off on me.
You know what? The only person I've seen spray, actually, you know, Jose Reyes? Reyes sprays cologne on before the game.
Hey, I told you before we went on that if you look good, you play good. Same thing. If you smell good, you're going to talk good. You know, it's not, same sort of thing.
That's right up there with two things make a wrong or make a right. Anyhow, it is Baseball Central. It is April 23rd. The Toronto Blue Jays can sweep the Baltimore Orioles tonight. Drew Hutchison in the mound. I almost called him Dutch Hutchison. That'd be pretty good. Drew Hutchison in the mound for the Blue Jays against Chris Tillman for the Orioles. Blue Jays Central live with Campbell and Zahn, 6:30 in Sportsnet 1. First pitch after 7 with Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Mike Wilner. Sportsnet 1 will have the game in Z-Tube with Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler and the one and only Barry Davis doing their duties. And then Wilner will take your calls right after the game and the Blue Jays talk.
By the way, I have to follow Jerry. That is a tough. That's a tough.
That
act
is
to follow,
a tough act.
Man.
We had Jerry Howarth in for an hour in my show, which is like just about my favorite. I was going to say my most favorite.
I'm
hour
sitting
of the day.
Right here.
Yeah, you're sitting right there. So I'll just shut up and move on. John Gibbons will join us at 11:15. We've got a lot to talk to John Gibbons about, and we're going to tee up that interview a little bit with Kevin Barker and myself, and then John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports, he joins us. Jays. Beating the Baltimore Orioles last night. Another great offensive performance from Devin Travis, who just keeps impressing. But I guess the story out of that game is Aaron Sanchez, 7 walks. And Jerry and I talked about this at the start of the show. Russ Martin deserves a medal for 100%. What he did last night. And I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about he forced Aaron Sanchez to mm-hmm. throw a fastball. I mean, they were going to have a stare down.
You're talking about the 0-2 pitch when he wanted to throw Aaron wanted to throw a breaking ball, and he said, no, we're throwing fastball.
You almost had a stare down between pitcher and catcher there, and eventually Aaron Sanchez threw the fastball. The other thing he did do, by the way, though, is he threw maybe his best curveball of the season with Russ Martin behind the plate beating earlier.
The more fastballs you throw for strikes, the more breaking balls you're going to throw for strikes. It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Talk to me a little bit about that what we saw between Russ Martin and the young pitchers, Roberto Osuna, Miguel Castro. Because the other thing to remember, that game's played under a warning after what we saw the night before. And people got to understand, that means the umpires are watching for things. And if you can get essentially three rookie pitchers through a game in a game played under a warning, you've done a hell of a job.
I think the Orioles understood that Aaron Sanchez is having a little trouble keeping it, you know, on the plate or around the plate. And I think the ball over Caleb Joseph's head would have been on any other occasion maybe caused a little stir, but
nobody reacted. Nobody batted an eyelash.
That team, you say what you want to say about the Orioles and Buck Showalter, they understand the game. They understand who's pitching, and they understand that Aaron Sanchez is not trying to throw at anybody. He's trying to keep it on the plate or around the plate. And I think last night we saw Russell Martin have the best game he's ever had with the Toronto Blue Jays. The fact of what you just mentioned coming off that game where, you know, there's tension and then you have young guys coming in the next day wanting to throw strikes and Aaron Sanchez basically having one of the biggest starts of his career, we could say of his career, because he hasn't had a whole lot. And I just think Russell Martin, If you're Alex Anthopoulos, you're walking away from that game smiling because you look like the smartest guy in Toronto bringing a catcher here and spending some money that, you know, some people may have walked away scratching their heads. But you watched that game last night and the way he took care of pitchers, and Osuna comes in and looks so confident because he's just throwing basically what Russell Martin tells him to throw. And that's what you got to love about that combination. That's why what you got to love about Russell Martin. Who cares about what he's going to hit? He, you know, he's a career 250 hitter. Basically, at the end of the year, he's going to hit 250. You can basically put that, you know, you can write that on a piece of paper. I think just by the way he puts down fingers and the fist pumps, the you put it, I'm going to put number one down, you throw it here, we're going to get the out. Come on, let's go. And he fist pump Aaron Sanchez. I don't know about you, but that made me want to go call Gibby and say, hey, man, can I come play for you guys? Because the team is just different. The atmosphere
I didn't want to
there
do that.
Is different. I did. Okay. I just.
But see, that's because you know you could.
If well, I did maybe
that,
not right
if I
now
did that, Gibby would laugh.
He would laugh at me, too. We'll have to ask him. Maybe he won't laugh at me.
I don't think he'd laugh at you.
But, you know, it's you can see it's a different kind of team. It's a different atmosphere around the team. And they, I think they expect to win. It's not a, we're going out and maybe we'll win. I think it's getting to, we expect to win, and we're going to put the right fingers down, and we're going to do everything right, and we're going to win games. And I love what I'm seeing, and I hope and pray for Blue Jays fans that they keep playing the way they are.
Do you give Aaron Sanchez another start?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's shown enough with his off-speed pitches, and I think he's – if you figure he can keep that 97 with some sink, well, with a lot of sink, anywhere near the strike zone and can throw the breaking ball on occasion for strikes, I don't think you're going to see seven walks a game. I think, if he can keep that around four walks a game for a little while until he just gets the feel of – you know, not throwing, overthrowing, and not trying to do too much. That's basically what it is, a young guy trying to do too much. And, you know, last night, I think, again, Russell Martin's the key here. If Russell Martin can stay healthy and have 20 more starts or 25 more starts with Aaron Sanchez, I think every time he's going to go out now, he's going to pitch better.
The game was over for less than 10 minutes, or the game had been over for less than 10 minutes, and Roberto Osuna on Twitter thank Russ Martin.
Yeah. Well, again, you can see confidence. It's something to – we talked about Dalton Pompey, the way he walked to the plate.
He looked good again last night,
again,
too.
Yeah, again, you see the way he walks to the plate, his demeanor around the plate. It means something. You don't think it means something, and to a normal fan, it may not mean anything, but to an opposing pitcher, an opposing catcher that looks basically at the way you stand in the box, if you're peeking, you know, just small little things like that, It means something. And Osuna, he showed you something. He showed you something last night as a fan. He showed you something at what we do. Just confidence. I'm going to throw it. The one guy, when Davis came up, he said, basically, I'm throwing you nothing but fastballs. I know Diaza got thrown out at third, which is basically the dumbest play.
That's stupid.
You can say that. But to throw Davis fastballs and basically say, here it is, you beat me, you're going to beat me because I'm throwing you fastballs. That says something to a young kid because he's graduated. He's graduated to that next level. And, you know, they're going to need those two guys. They're going to need Castro Osuna, and they're going to need Sanchez a lot. Mm-hmm. And you hope it works out.
Now, I'd just say disturbing news, some uncomfortable news for the Blue Jays yesterday. Jose Bautista, who would likely have been given the day off, considering his numbers against Ubaldo Jimenez are atrocious. But Jose Bautista, given the complete day off, as a result of a shoulder strain, he had an MRI in his right shoulder. He admitted the shoulder had been bothering him, but Jose Bautista admitted it, that he injured it when he tried to throw out Delman Young at first base in that sort of that fit of pique that he had after Jason Garcia threw behind him, and then of course subsequently hit the home run and the whole jawing with Adam Jones thing. So Bautista may, and again, we'll ask John Gibbons, this may need a stint in the DL. Certainly the Jays weren't prepared to say that publicly last night, but we know that Michael Saunders is close enough to returning that he will likely join the team in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Kevin, I got to ask you, shoulder strain, right shoulder strain for Jose Bautista. What do you do if Jose Bautista has to go in the DL? I mean, there's a chance you could call up Caleb Gindel, I guess, a guy who had a really, really good spring training for the Blue Jays. I think you're kind of covered with Pilar in right and Michael Saunders in left and Pompey in center. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have Jose Bautista, you're in kind of an interesting situation if you're John Gibbons, because the logical move, I would think, would be to put Josh Donaldson someplace down in the middle of the order. But the way Josh Donaldson's hitting and the stuff that he's doing out of the number two spot, do you leave Donaldson in the number two spot? Like, what do you do if you don't have Jose Bautista?
Well, I think regardless of who you call up or what you do, being John Gibbons, I think this says you have to, if you're Justin Smoak, this is the one guy in that entire lineup. You saw a little bit of it last night, and I'm going to ask Gibby about this. You saw last night he has it in him, and you saw a lot better at bats. You see him going the other way. I've been preaching this, and I know you make fun of me about a little small ball, but the more better approaches you have and thinking the other way and thinking the left center if you're left-handed, the more balls you're going to get, you're going to hit hard, the better at bats you're going to have. And I think Justin Smoak to me is the key in all of this, because if he can add some power and he can, you know, add some driving in some big runs for this team, I think it takes a lot of pressure off the three big guys in the middle of the lineup, because you start to forget about Justin Smoak towards the end of your lineup, and he starts dropping, you know, hitting some balls out of the yard the other way, hitting some big doubles, getting some big hits. I think he's going to be super key for this team. And anytime you lose your best player, if that's what's going to happen, we don't know that yet, but if that's happening, it's going to be a big loss for your team, and other guys are going to have to step up. And again, this puts more pressure on your young guys. If there could be any more pressure, puts a lot more pressure on these guys. But I think they have enough to withstand this. The Blue Jays have a really, really good lineup. The lineup's not going to be the problem. We all know that, I think. I think you can sustain a little bit of missing Bautista, not very long, but a little bit, I think. You know, you'd rather have him miss a little bit in 1st of May than you would in September when they're fighting for the playoffs and hopefully going to be right there. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, again, I think this is why you have a team. This is not why you have to rely on just one guy. This is why you have 25 guys.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. John Gibbons, the field manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, will join us in a few minutes. John Morosi, national baseball writer for Fox Sports. He will be along as well. So we didn't see any shenanigans last night. We know that, at least we believe, and we'll ask John this, that a warning was given to the teams before the game. We do know that Major League Baseball talked to both clubs. We do know that Major League Baseball talked to the umpires as well. As again, I said nothing happened. You talked about Connor or Caleb Joseph gets a ball thrown over and nobody budges, because it was obvious that it had slipped out of Aaron Sanchez's hands. Tonight, you got Drew Hutchison. You've got Chris Tillman. The Orioles, you know they don't want to get swept. You know the Jays want to sweep these guys. Do you anticipate anything tonight?
No.
I talked to someone here. I think this may be done.
I think so. Well, what's going to hurt the Orioles more? Sweep them. If you're the Blue Jays, why would you want to? You have momentum coming into this game. Everything you're doing so far is right. You're getting a big hit. You're pitching enough. You're playing really good defense. Why would you mess that up? I know you want to be the top guy in the American League East, but I always think winning cures all of these things. Winning will make, you know, the biggest and the hardest teams to beat even that much better, because you go out and beat them, you sweep them at home, gives you momentum going on the road for the next 10 days. I just think this, to me, this is over, and we may see this down further down the road maybe, but right now I think it would hurt a lot more if you go in there and sweep them and you know, send them on the road to an 0-3 in Toronto, because it is the three big teams. It's going to be the Red Sox, the Jays, and the Orioles basically all year. I know the Yankees are playing a lot better, but, you know, on paper, the three teams you have to look at are the three teams I just mentioned, and I just don't see anything happening today.
Kevin, we're at the end of this homestand. We'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, but we're at the end of this homestand. What have you seen out of the Blue Jays that you like? And what have you seen that concerns you?
Well, the first thing, the concerning thing a little bit is obviously keeping quality pitches in the strike zone. I think, you know, I heard you, Joe Siddle, talk the other day about you can throw strikes, but you have to throw quality strikes. I think sometimes that's overlooked, and I sometimes, you know, maybe don't say you need to throw quality strikes. It's more strikes. Well, let's throw quality strikes. That's one of them. The other one is better approaches. That's the one thing I've seen at home. They have a lot of better approaches. They go middle the other way a lot better than they were early in the season. They keep doing those things. They're going to have a better run here. Going on the road, you have to pitch the ball well, get that big hit, and I think they're starting to do that.
Let's see what the manager thinks. John Gibbons is the field manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Jays wrap up their series with the Baltimore Orioles tonight, and John Gibbons joins Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker in Baseball Central. Good morning, Mr. Gibbons.
What's up, Gibby?
Good morning. Hey, Bark, I agree with you 100%.
Thank you.
Tail end of that.
I appreciate that.
So you actually heard what he said, or are you just saying that you agree with him to piss me off?
Well, I generally agree with him.
Yeah, I know.
I caught the tail end of it about the big hit, good approaches at the plate, making big pitches, getting big hits. We love it.
It sounds easy, doesn't it? But
yeah. It always sounds easy. It's a hard game to play.
That's right.
In all seriousness, John, that game last night, before we talk about Sanchez, I talked to Jerry Howarth about this as well, and Kevin and I talked about it. That's a reason you have Russ Martin, isn't it? To get those kids through that game and to get Aaron Sanchez in particular. You know, 7 walks in the situation that he came in with the temperature between the two teams, if you want to call it that. That's exactly why you have a catcher like Russ Martin, isn't it?
Oh yeah, you know he's invaluable. He really is, and he's got a nice bond with all of them. But he's got a special bond with those young guys. You know, and he's taking great responsibility for helping break these guys in, and you know what, these guys, the youngsters, you know, they get later in their career. When it's all said and done, they'll look back and say, you know what, the first year or first couple of years, whatever it is, Russ played such a huge part of it. It's instant respect. You know, he's done that many a time. So, that he believes in what they tell him. And you combine that with our pitching coaches, and it's a pretty good combo. And we're starting to see some of the results right now. And I think even as the season goes further along, we'll see even better results.
Mm-hmm. John, we've just been handed a press release that Deonner Navarro has gone on the 15-day disabled list with a strained left hammy, and that Josh Tolley has been recalled. Anything else you can add to that? I mean, how serious was the injury? Clearly, it's serious enough that he went in the DL. But anything else you can add to that? And what does that do to a lineup that already doesn't have Jose Bautista in it?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's an important bat for us, Dino, and he's our backup catcher. He came in, he tweaked it the other night, and yesterday he went and got an MRI, the MRI, everything now, you get a head cold. But it was worse than we thought. He thought next morning it was a little worse than he thought it was going to be. And then, we can't, Batista's already down.
Mm-hmm.
How long that's going to last, we're not sure. So you can't afford to, especially that position, to play shorthanded. So it's going to take at least a couple weeks, judging from the MRI and the way everybody feels. So, that's a big blow, no doubt about it. Right now all that's going to do is open up more bats for Smoke and see what he can do. And then, eventually what will happen is, when Batista's ready to at least swing, he'll fall into that DH role until we can get him back on the field too. So, it's not good news, but you just learn to adjust in this business.
Well, I was going to say, so what we're looking at right now, just so we can get people up to date, Deonner Navarro has been put in the disabled list. Josh Tolley has been called up. Jose Bautista, when do you expect to make a call on whether or not he goes on the DL?
Well, Jeff, it's hard to say, but, we get to the park today, be curious to see how he's feeling, if there's some, hopefully there's some improvement there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take a few days. You don't want to get into one of those situations where you throw them on the DL too quick. If you're guessing there, and now you lose them for 2 weeks, and maybe all you needed was a week or something like that. So,
right.
We got it. But it may get to the point too where, hey, we're playing shorthanded, we can't afford to do that either. So maybe he would go on the DL. But today and tomorrow, I would guess are probably big days.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, it does open up the possibility. If the doctors say that he can hit, if throwing's an issue, he can hit, at least you can DH Jose Bautista.
Right, yeah. And that's you think about it, Michael Saunders is close to returning. Maybe the timing's perfect for that.
Mm-hmm.
And with Pilar playing really well and Pompey starting to get it going now, you know, that, you know, gives us that freedom, you know, with, you know, we can DH him a little bit. And, you know, and of course, Eddie will have to play, you know, most of the time at first base. So it could work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you expect to do if you don't have that, if you don't have Jose Bautista? Could we expect to see Josh Donaldson drop down in the lineup?
Well, you know what? It could very well look like, you know, at least until he comes back. I like the way it looked last night with, you know, putting Devin Travis in that two spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sliding, you know, Donaldson back and then Eddie back. You know, if you really think about it, you know, Travis, you know, would be really, if you look at baseball over the years, he's an ideal, you know, in the limited mm-hmm. You know, number of games to start a season. He's really an ideal type of guy for that. You know, he's got great discipline at the plate. He uses the whole field. He's, you know, he puts the ball in play. He doesn't strike out much, and you know, he can do some things on the bases too. He's not a blazer, but you know, he's got good speed, and so eventually, you know, it might be his spot in the lineup anyway.
Yeah, Gibby, with Josh Tolley coming back and R.A. Dickey and Russell Martin, sort of, I guess they're off to a pretty good start. Can we see Josh Tolley maybe catching R.A. Dickey and giving Russell Martin that day off? Can we expect to see that?
Yeah. He'll catch him a little bit, you know. But what, you know, the good thing about it, you know, Russell's been catching him, so you're just not limited to one guy doing it. You know, let's say too, if Tolley starts a game with him, and you get in a crunch time in the game where you want Russell's bat in there for a pinch hit, things like that. You can put him in the game. You don't have to remove Dickey, you know. I mean, I think mm-hmm. we did that a couple times last year. He was probably going to go back out for another inning, but the fact that we had to pinch hit, you know, you had to yank the pitcher too. So mm-hmm. you know, it'll free some things up, and you know, they're both able to do it, and that makes us stronger.
Mm-hmm. Joined by Toronto Blue Jays manager John Gibbons on Baseball Central. What did you see out of Aaron Sanchez last night? And are the plans still the same for Aaron right now to give him another start and to maybe see where this goes a little bit? Or are you almost at the point, John, where moving to the bullpen might become more and more of a possibility for him?
Well, Jeff, yeah, I mean, you'll see him out there in 5 days. You know, you and I have talked about this many a time, you know, the big debate. Where's he stronger? Where's the team stronger? And things like that. And, you know, personally, I thought that was, you know, it was a big outing for him last night. You know, the fact that he got the win, you know, he was wild at times. But, you know, he still only gave up two runs. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's a sign of a good one right there. It wasn't an easy outing for him by any means, but you look at his previous two, I thought last night was much better. You know, some people might say, well, he walked seven guys. How could it be better? Well, I mean, if you watch his kid enough, you can see some good things. You know, I thought he was cutting it loose. And I think after that second inning, I think that's where he chalked up most of his walks, that, you know, he did settle in a little bit. And, you know, if he gets that ball over the plate, you know, he's tough to hit. I mean, he's like anybody else. He's going to make a mistake. They're going to be sitting on a particular pitch, and they'll get it, and then they'll burn him. But it's not a comfortable at bat, and he still has the ability to get some outs, you know, when he does make mistakes. And, you know, not everybody can say that.
Yeah, Gibby, after the day off, the approaches, you know, on this show, me and Jeff always talk about, or I do, I talk about playing a little small ball. After the day off, the approaches at the plate, I'm sure you see this, look different. They just look, your entire team just looks like they're taking basically what the pitcher gives you. Is that something you guys as a coaching staff have, you know, tried to beat into this team, you know, basically all year, but especially on that day off? Have you guys said, hey, we need to change our approach and start just taking what the pitcher gives you?
Well, I know one thing, that that day off did wonders for us. You know, I've been a long road trip and a long grind to that point, so that we needed that physically. But you're right. You know, where we get shut down a lot of times. You know, we're swinging a lot of times too wildly up there. You know, and it's not that we don't have a plan, but there's been a better approach, I think, using the middle of the field. You know, when you run into those tough pitchers, I mean, there's less mistakes that they make, and you know, so you're not going to hit as many home runs. So, you know, you got to be willing to take a, you know, cheap little single the other way, or do something like that. And you know, think about our guys. I mean, we got some guys in their careers, you know, at least in the last few years, they've turned into home run hitters. But there's still a right way to hit a home run. You know, you got to stay on the ball. You got to recognize what they're, you know, what they're giving you. And you got to be able to adjust to that. And sometimes, you know, a lousy single or a lousy double in the opposite field gaps, not too bad, you know. So they all know it. We, you know, we got, you know, Jacoby and Eric Owens, you know, the hitting coach, is doing a great job with these guys. And, you know, you just keep pounding it. And it, in, when you don't see it all the time, doesn't mean they're not trying to do it. Because, you know, as well as anybody, you know, how tough you can go up there with the right frame of mind, the right plan, and sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes a little something may be out of whack. And, I've mentioned to a guy before, too, that, hey, you know, don't forget the opposite field there. He goes, I know I'm trying to get there, but just, you just can't pull it off yet. You know, you get a little bit out of whack. So, but I agree with you. The approach has been much better, I think. And that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, to win some close games.
So John, there was no retribution or no reoccurrence last night of what we saw in the first game of the series. Did the umpires warn both teams last night? And is that, as far as you're concerned, is that pretty much done and dusted now?
Well, Jeff, you know, the umpires came to my office before the game, and I assume they went over there to the Orioles clubhouse as well, and they just said, you know what, you know, the commissioner's office has contacted us, and you know, especially with all that, you know, all the crap that was happening in Kansas City and Oakland, you know, I mean, it's really the focal point. They said, you know, let's shape it up. You know, we don't want any more trouble. It's bad for the game. It's bad for this, whatever. So. I think they definitely put both teams on notice.
Does that constitute a warning?
No, there was no official warning, but
right.
I think there was a subtle warning.
And you know, how hard is that? I'm putting myself in your position. I'm trying to, or Russ Martin's position. Okay, so you know the tone of the game. You know what's going on, and you got Aaron Sanchez out there. How does Russ handle that? Clearly he doesn't go up to Aaron and say, hey, you know what, we got to be careful what we do tonight because we're on a warning. But does it change anything that Russ or you do as far as Aaron Sanchez is concerned when it comes to a game like that?
No, well, Jeff, you know, you have to pitch your game. You know, you put together a game plan, and you got to try to execute it. And, you know, you think about, you know, a guy like Sanchez, you know, his big weapon is his that hard two-seam fastball, okay, and where it's most effective when he's running that ball inside on right-handed hitters, you know, so he's got to do that, and, you know, if a ball or two gets away, I mean, that's just part of it. I mean, I think everybody in baseball understands that. I mean, you can kind of sense when something's not right, you know, when you can't use the excuse, well, you know, the ball got away. You know, I think, you know, I mean, that's a politically correct way to say things, but I think everybody, you know, that's been around the game a while, they know different, you know, but, you know, both sides have to pitch their game. The manager, you know, last night was the same type of guy. You know, he's got that, his sinking fastball is a big weapon for him, and he's got to have the inside part of the plate too. But even the umpires, I mean, the umpires got a good judge of when, as much heat as they take, they got a good feel of when something fishy's going on. So, but, you know, the name of the game is to win the game and pitch accordingly how you have to do that.
Yeah, Gibby, before we let you go, how is Marcus Stroman coming along, and where is he at in his rehab?
Well, you know, he's down there in Florida, and then I'm not sure what the date he's gonna head to Duke University where he went to college, and you know, there's a pretty good relationship with, you know, our training staff and, you know, some of the guys at Duke. I know they've done some things for us in the past. So he'll continue his rehab there, and then go do some work and finishing his college education. Mm-hmm. He'll do a lot of that this summer, which is pretty impressive. So he can kill two birds at the same time.
Right.
So he's not going to pitch for us this year. But you know, there's always reminders where he's at. You know, you always think, hey, you know, screw this, screw that. I mean, he was that special a guy. But, I mean, it's not going to happen. You know, he'll go on to have a great career regardless of this. But, you know, it's pretty impressive the kid's going to knock off his education, take advantage of this, I guess.
Right.
John, we're going to let you run. I appreciate you doing this as always. We'll see you at the ballpark tonight.
Yeah, Gibby, good luck.
All right, boys.
It's John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Jays will wrap up that series with the Baltimore Orioles tonight, 7 o'clock, first pitch in Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet 360. Campbell and Zama gets you set at 6:30 with the pregame show. And there you go, a little bit of breaking news. not really a little. Breaking news in the Blue Jays camp. Deonner Navarro has been put on the disabled list, backdated to April 22nd with a strained left hamstring. Josh Tolley has been recalled from AAA Buffalo. And no one, of course, is R.A. Dickey's personal catcher. But it's kind of interesting. John Gibbons kind of giving us the sense that perhaps it's not necessarily carved in stone that Tolley's going to catch R.A. Dickey. And I guess, Kevin, a lot, that really depends on Jose Bautista's status. Because if you don't have Jose Bautista's bat here, you're going to need Russ Martin's score bat runs. In there. You're going to need that bat to score runs. So there you go. Deonner Navarro to the DL. Josh Tolley called up. Sounds very much as if we may know a little more about Jose Bautista's status before today's game and whether or not the Blue Jays are going to make a move with him to put him in the DL. We expect Michael Saunders to join the Blue Jays in Tampa tomorrow. Nothing official yet, but that was clearly the direction the Blue Jays were going yesterday. John Paul Morosi is a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. We have a lot to talk to John Paul Morosi about. He had a very interesting article on how Major League Baseball is addressing the spate of hit batters that we're seeing. John Paul Morosi joins Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Baseball Central, the abused Jeff Blair edition of Baseball Central. It's always abused Jeff Blair Day. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, for your listening pleasure. Blue Jays wrap up their three-game series, indeed wrap up the homestand tonight against the Baltimore Orioles with a 7 o'clock first pitch in Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet 1 as well. Blue Jays Central Live will get you started at 6:30 p.m. Campbell's on. We'll have their pregame show on Sportsnet 1. And needless to say, the temperature around the Blue Jays and Orioles today, a lot lower than yesterday. No resumption of the, I'm going to call it a bean brawl, but no resumption of the hostilities we saw between the teams in the first game of the series. You heard John Gibbons say in the last segment that the umpires came to visit both him and manager, Orioles manager Buck Showalter yesterday. No official warning was given to the teams, but as John Gibbons said, it was an implied, the warning was implied, and essentially the teams were put on notice by the commissioner's office.
I would have loved to heard that conversation with John Gibbons and umpires.
I imagine it'd be a pretty good conversation.
Funny.
The timing of this is interesting because John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports, wrote an article on the website, Fox Sports website, talking about kind of a new approach on the part of Major League Baseball. When it comes to dealing with these issues, and Kevin, I wanted to talk to you about it as we await John Paul Morosi. Essentially, John's story was that Joe Torre and Joe Garagiola Jr., who are the chief disciplinarians for baseball, they have, and it was written in the context of what we saw on the weekend between Kansas City and Oakland, where Brett Laurie took out Elcides Escobar. He was thrown at by Yordano Ventura. Then Kelvin Herrera threw behind him. Baseball fined Ventura. They suspended Herrera. John Paul Morosi's take on it from talking to people in the commissioner's office was that Joe Garagiola Jr. and Joe Torre, both of whom were old school baseball guys, took this approach. You don't like when somebody throws at somebody, but Ventura was clearly throwing at Brett Laurie in retaliation for what Brett Laurie did. What Kelvin Herrera did was deemed to be more serious because, in point of fact, he exacerbated the situation. Mm-hmm. What should have been settled was not settled because Kelvin Herrera essentially upped the ante right. by throwing behind Brett Laurie, and consequently, he received a suspension. The thinking being that the Ventura thing was just baseball guys taking care of baseball stuff on the field.
Sure.
Herrera, again, upping the ante, essentially reigniting the feud. I get that, and I'm a fan of letting players settle things mostly, although I know we get in a lot of trouble in hockey when we talk about that. But what do you think of that approach as a player? The idea that, okay, we understand these are the unwritten rules.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go along with it, providing it doesn't get stupid. We don't want somebody piling on or exacerbating the situation. Do you see the logic behind that? And do you think that, in fact, is the right way for them to do it?
I think so, too. I just think it's where I think they have to start looking at where they hit people. I think you can't. Above the waist is a rocky road when it comes to your, because basically what you're doing when most of the time pitchers hit guys, it's their best player or one of their really good players. You hit one of those players above the waist. I think that's an issue that Major League Baseball has to look at. You hit below the waist. Hey, that's, you know, you're taking care of your own. You're doing something that, you know, you're taking up for your team. There's something to be said about that, but it's when you get above the waist, that to me is a serious issue, and I think they need to look at that. But yeah, you do it that day, you take care of it. It's kind of what the Blue Jays and Orioles kind of thing is. It's done, it's over. You know, we like to talk about it, but I'm sure in-house between the Orioles and the Blue Jays, as of right now, it's over. We could see something else down the road, but right now I think it's over, and I think baseball, Major League Baseball, has went about this the right way.
Yeah, it's again, it'll be. What I like is that they have put it in the hands of the players.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Jerry and I talked about this with the pace of game. Essentially, the players have been said, look, here's the roadmap, all right? This is sort of what we expect from you. This is how you get there. Now, whether or not you guys want to get there or not is up to you. If you get there on your own, that's great.
Right.
If you don't get there on your own, we're going to push your ass to that point.
Sure.
And you're seeing, and it's... It's interesting because we are in the first year of a new commissioner, and you really just get the sense that that there's, in some ways, a hands-off approach being taken to some things.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, I think there's a lot of hard throwers in baseball now, as we all know. You go in bullpens and you see guys. There's no guys that throw 90 anymore. And when you're throwing 95-plus up around somebody's arms and chest, and I'm old school as they get. I get it. I know what you're doing. I know what you're trying to do. Most players that walk to the plate expect it. That's just the way it is. You expect something's going to happen and be done with it and walk to first or run to first.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's above the waist, that to me, I have to have an issue with that. And I think Major League Baseball has to do something with that. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the best way to go, whether, you know, most of the time getting in people's pockets usually works. And I think in this occasion, it's the right way to go. Again, I think they need to further this just a little bit with what I just said about going above the waist. Tell pitchers straight up, you go above the waist, this is what's going to happen.
No, you know, and Kevin, it's interesting because I have to throw this out there because I think this is an interesting point. Gary Cook on Twitter, a guy who listens to the show, follows both shows, he wants to know the question, hasn't plunking basically become baseball's version of the staged hockey fight?
Well,
it's an interesting take. And I mean, I've been one of those people that, I mean, I think staged hockey fights are just the point of stupidity. If you want to have a fight because two guys are going real fast and they hit each other and I look at you and I give you the stink eye and we drop the gloves and we go at it, that's one thing. The only thing, and maybe that's Gary, to get to Gary's point, the thing that would be a little different is the whole heat of the moment thing. In other words, the instigation, the thing that is going to instigate it would be something that would be heat of the moment. It's not necessarily like I'm sending my tough guy out to get your tough guy and we're going
to
have a fight.
To your point,
Gary does make an interesting point.
He does, spot on. What it is, you don't want to lose your best players to something you don't want to lose it to. You want it to be on the field. Things like this are basically not on the field. What I get back to my point, guys throwing super hard, you hit basically, if you go above the waist and accidentally hit somebody, if you go above the waist and you hit somebody in the face, as hard as these guys throw, that could really, really hurt you, not only on the field, but off the field. This is my point. Mm-hmm. You have to do something about that, I think, if you're Major League Baseball. And, you know, it's guys. You have two men trying to do the same thing, which is win games for your team and take up for your team. You just want it to be done in the right way. That's all. Do it in the right way. Accept it. Go to first base, and it's over. Nobody ever talks about it again. And I think Major League Baseball's taking the right step. They just, I think, need to go a little bit further.
We'll have baseball for you this afternoon, by the way, on Sportsnet Ontario. The Yankees and the Tigers are playing. A little bit of tough news for the Tigers. Joe Nathan has torn his UCL in a rehab appearance and is out for the season after Tommy John surgery. This is his second Tommy John surgery. Now, Joe Nathan, either 40 or 42. Guys have come back. Jeff Passan, my good friend at Yahoo Sports, points out on Twitter that John Franco came back from a second Tommy John surgery and had a pretty good career throwing the screwball.
Right.
The difference, though, is that at this age, you generally don't see guys coming back, and we could, in fact, be seeing the end of Joe Nathan's career. And yeah, I was going to say it's tough news for the Tigers, but given the way the Tigers are playing, they seem to be a bit of a resilient club right now.
They're a really good team. They're you know, I think David Price is basically carrying that team up until yesterday. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball, but you hate to see that. The older you get, I know when I was a player, the older I got, it was a lot harder to get up in the mornings just because your body doesn't work the way it used to. And you add to that a major injury that you have to, you know, getting hurt is really bad because you have to rehab it so hard. You're getting up really early. You're going to do things that you normally wouldn't do. And on top of that, you're getting older. It's, you know, and on top of that, he pitches in very high pressure situations, being in that ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just going to be real tough. You hope for Detroit's sake and for his sake, he comes back and he comes back stronger.
You heard our conversation with John Gibbons, by the way, to give you Michael Saunders' update. He went 0-for-4 playing for the Dunedin Blue Jays yesterday in their 7-3 loss to Daytona. Our understanding as of yesterday from talking to John Gibbons was that Michael Saunders would join the team in Tampa. The Jays start a series there tomorrow against the Rays. He would make the short drive over from Dunedin, join the Jays in Tampa. Again, with the news about D'Honor Navarro going down, that's a switch hitting bat out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. The Jays are kind of painfully shy right now in left-handed bats. So I would think, unless Michael Saunders has had a dreadful setback, knock on wood, I would think that he will be with the team. And, you know, it's funny because we spent the last week talking about, what do you do when Michael Saunders comes back? What do you do with Kevin Pillar? Well, guess what? Baseball has a way of kind of presenting answers.
Well, you really, for the Blue Jays' sake, you wish it wouldn't happen this way.
Yeah.
You're losing one of your best players.
But there you go. If you're worried about Kevin Pillar, unless Jose Bautista can recover and doesn't need any time in the DL, Kevin Pillar is going to be your right fielder. And in fact, even if he does recover, John Gibbons saying today that Jose Bautista is likely going to be used as a DH, at least initially, to give that shoulder some rest. So your outfield would be Saunders in left, Dalton Pompey in center, Kevin Pillar in right. You'd see Edwin at first base.
That's not bad.
And Jose Bautista DHing. It also, in the short term at least, I think Justin Smoke gets a little bit of daylight here. And if he can... He looked good last night.
Did.
He took a ball the opposite field through the shift. If he can pick it up a bit, I've said all along, I think there's some at bats for Justin Smoke.
Yeah, I think
team.
He needs to split the plate in half. Look one side or the other. Don't try to cover both sides. He does that. He's going to do really well and get the head out. It's very simple. Play a corner. You have to get the head out and drive the ball. And I think last night's a step in the right direction.
That is it for us for today. For Kevin Barker and John Gibbons, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. We will be back tomorrow immediately following the Jeff Blair Show, which will be from 9 to 11. We'll have baseball tonight. The Jays going for the sweep against the Baltimore Orioles. Drew Hutchison on the mound for the Jays. Chris Tillman for the Baltimore Orioles. First pitch set to fly after 7 o'clock. Have a great day, everybody.